Hi, this is Russ. We're in the book of Daniel for those who are students and researchers. We've been going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. The theme, overall theme for the entire book has been a light in the darkness, and surely Daniel was a powerful light in the darkness of Babylon and in the darkness of the Medo-Persian Empire. All around him, pagan belief systems, demonic presence, the worship of gods and goddesses, and the antagonism and spiritual warfare that would be against Yahweh, the living God, against Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, in the midst of all of this, this session here is just simply an added session thinking through some reflections in the book of Daniel. And I wanted you to think about, as you study the book of Daniel, letting God speak to you. Well, I think I got about eight other things I want to bring into light here. And let me just begin, and I've added a little page if you want to use that, and then scripture verses that relate to the New Testament so that we can see again the principle that God is the same, whether 2,600 years ago or about 2,000 years ago with the disciples in the early church, and then also today as the Word of God speaks to us. Number one, it would be Daniel's faithfulness into his 80s. By the time we come to chapter 7, we're talking about Daniel being now in his 80s. He was brought as a young man, you know, when Babylon brought down Israel and they were brought into literally slavery. They were being assimilated. And that was part of the work of King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to assimilate the other peoples by changing their name, their dress, everything about them, their education. And so Daniel and others were taken to be assimilated completely. Well, it's very clear from chapter 1 that we saw that Daniel's resolve was not to be defiled, not to be, you know, influenced or changed. And that's one of the things. As we are believers in Christ, the foundations of our life, the life that we live, the world, the flesh, and the devil always seek to change us, to mold us into its patterns. God tells us in Romans chapter 12 that we can offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to Christ, and we are to no longer be conformed to the patterns of the world. And so the kind of resolve that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made, we can see how God was able to work in their lives and allow their lives to demonstrate, again, a light in the darkness, and for their lives to be a window through which God would work in miraculous ways. The great thing about Daniel's life, now by the time we get to chapter 7, we may be dealing with Daniel being in his 80s. That he is outliving kings and even outliving nations. The primary nations that we're talking about, Babylonia and then the Medo-Persian Empire and then later on Alexander and then Rome and then the future of New World Order that it's also going to, you know, prophesy about. Well, Daniel remained faithful all the years of his life. If you study Psalms chapter 18, you're going to see that faithfulness plays a big part, and all the rest of Scripture shows us that faithfulness is a major, major part of our walk with God. And I think that if you know Philippians 1:6, Paul saying, being confident of this, that he, referring to God, who began a good work in your life, will carry it on to completion to the very day of Christ. God's faithfulness is clear. God's faithfulness in Daniel's life was clear. And you can count on God's faithfulness in your life right now. Daniel was able to walk with God through some of the hardest times, the greatest of pressures, in the toughest places, tremendous opposition against him. Yet Daniel continued to remain faithful. He resolved. He wouldn't give in. He wouldn't compromise. He wouldn't give in to the demonic, to the morality, to the political law of the day that would have been in opposition to the will of God. Daniel stayed faithful, and here he is now in his 80s, when you're reading chapter 7, 8, and on, you're dealing with the aged Daniel, the man of God that walked with God. And realize this, that in his faithfulness, God is still calling upon him. God is still using him. God is still visiting him. We're finding in Daniel's faithfulness to God, to the Word of God, that there's angelic visitation. There are dreams and visions that God sends, which really is the way God is communicating so that he can write down and it becomes scripture. He's a scripture writer, led by the Spirit of God, by the inbreaking of God with visions and dreams and so forth. So I think that as you think in terms of day by day by day, be faithful to the Lord. Romans 12 talks about being faithful, even in affliction, even in trouble, that you can get before the Lord and make the Lord your refuge in all the days of your life. Please realize whether you're 18 years old or 83 years old, the Lord Jesus Christ can use your life powerfully as a light shining in the darkness around us. And in these days of the ramping up of the dark side, we need to see more and more believers that are clear about who they love, who they walk with, how they will not compromise in any way so that the Lord Jesus can be revealed through their life. Well, number two, I want to say concerning these reflections is that we see that God is the same, even when everything else changes. You know, when they're taken as captives to Babylon, when the articles of the temple of God are taken and thrown into the temples, into the treasury of King Nebuchadnezzar, who worships a demon god, when they're now in really demonic territory, antagonistic territory, one thing they're going to find throughout their lives under Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, under Darius and so forth, that God is the same. God doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you read this in Hebrews 13, you see very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ is the same every single day. When you read about him in the Gospels, when you see his work among the disciples in the book of Acts, there is absolutely no change. You can count on the presence of Jesus, the power of Jesus, the working, his working among you as you're ministering and witnessing and being the disciple and witness you can be. Listen, as you live for the Lord Jesus, when everything else is changing around you, the anchor still is Jesus. The book of Hebrews says to fix your sight, your eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of your faith. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Number three, God deals with the kings of the earth. It's very, very clear that God had a way of breaking into Nebuchadnezzar's life by disturbing him. Here's a pagan worshiping king, worshiping a demon, among a massive, massive civilization, an empire. An empire that would have been, from beginning to end, opposed to Yahweh, to the God of heaven, and to the plan of God, to the Word of God, to the way of God, to the will of God, to the morality of God, to the worship of God. But God knows how to break in. God knows how to break in supernaturally, and all it took was for God to thrust dreams, communications into the head of Nebuchadnezzar, to bring him to the point where there would be a great demonstration that all the sorcerers and all the magicians and all the rest, the Chaldeans, the astrologers, they could not help him. A revelation that when God does something, the demons can't tap into that. But the Spirit of the Lord being upon Daniel and God given Daniel in answer to prayer, the interpretation, not only the interpretation, but the dream itself, again, we see this inbreaking of God. God set this whole scenario up to reveal himself to the entire empire of the Babylonians, to the king, who eventually, you know the story I read in the Daniel, where he went insane for 7 years until he acknowledged the God of heaven. When the pride was broken, and when the king could finally acknowledge that the living personal God, the infinite God, is the God of heaven and earth, that he can take down kings. And we see this with the handwriting on the wall. We see this with Belshazzar. We see this with Darius. We see that throughout all of history, God has the ability to invade. So don't think that God does not invade politicians' minds and hearts. He does. We should be praying, as Timothy chapter 2 tells us, and we're urged as a priority to pray for kings and those in authority. And as we're praying for kings and those in authority, like Daniel, we can be an open vessel, an open window through which God works. That God may begin to work in the lives of politicians and leaders. And listen, God can give dreams. God can disrupt lives. The ultimate goal is for the salvation of political leaders and their lives being right with God through Jesus. And then their lives being open doors through which God can speak and witness. So remember Psalm chapter 2 also, a great warning, a prophetic warning to the kings of the earth. Because leaders become targets of Satan. Satan wants those seats of power. He wants to be able to rule from those places of power to put in, you know, put laws into effect, like with the Babylonians, like with the Medo-Persians, like eventually with Rome and the coming New World Order under the Antichrist. Well, we can even see with the Nazis, with Hitler. Demonized ideology becomes this political ideology that becomes the law of the land, in which it opens wide the door for demonic worship, demonic presence, demonic manifestation, and brings about serious opposition to the people of God. And we see that all the way through the book of Daniel. But God knows how to deal with the kings. And we need to be praying for the kings and leaders and presidents and governors and so forth. And we need to ask the Lord to intervene and speak to their lives, to visit them. What God has done in the past, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, literally every day, he can also invade with dreams and visions. He can move powerfully. And ultimately, as we read in Timothy 2, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Well, the fourth thing that I realize, point D actually, God is with his people and about his purpose. Now again, in Hebrews chapter 13, we find that God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That God has a mission, God has a plan. God had a plan to progressively reveal himself in a fallen, broken, demon-worshipping world. To begin to reveal the Word of God. That's what the book of Daniel is all about. 2,600 years ago, God had it planned not only for the day in which Daniel lived, but to write down living words that you and I can read today about the day in which we live and the days that are just before us. If Antichrist is on the face of the earth, Daniel, the book of Daniel, by the prophetic revelation of God, has already spoken about this reality, this actuality. It's an incredible teaching. And God has intended that we know this teaching, that we know the prophetic revelation. It's meant for us. It's been inspired by the Spirit of God, preserved by the Spirit of God, and now illuminated by the Spirit of God for our lives. God is with his people. He never abandoned Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even when the three said that our God is able to deliver, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. Even if God didn't deliver them at that moment, they knew. And we pray that you would know and that I would know that God is faithful in every generation, and in our particular lives. God is with us. Jesus said, I will be with you. The Great Commission of Matthew 28, I will be with you always to the end of the age. The living presence of Christ to the very last day of your life, to the very last day before Jesus returns. In the hardest of times, even in the days of Antichrist, the living Christ dwelling in you, dwelling with you. This is what we must be absolutely confident about, that God is with us, God is in us, God is moving and operating. As a matter of fact, in Philippians chapter 2, we are told that it is God who is at work within us to will and to act according to his good pleasure. God is supernaturally working in your life and working around you. And ultimately, he is about fulfilling his purpose. And what's the overarching purpose? 2 Peter chapter 3, even the patience of God that Jesus has not yet returned. The only reason for that is the salvation of lives. That's why we read in Timothy, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wills, wants all, pas anthropos is the word, all humanity to be saved. Salvation is the biggest thing on the face of the earth. God's redemption of individual lives, of saving people. The power of his patience means salvation. God's frontline ministry, salvation of souls. God's number one, salvation of souls. God is about his purpose. And the number one purpose is the salvation of souls. Now, it involves crushing Satan and his work. It involves healing and deliverance and God's signs and wonders. It involves God's blessing in the lives of his people. But central stage is Christ, the cross, and salvation, and the mission of God to preach this great good news to every creature, to go to the highways and the byways, to the ends of the earth, and God will be with us, and God will be among us, and he will demonstrate his power again and again, day after day, decade after decade, century after century, and even millennium after millennium. The living God you and I know right now that moves in us and speaks to us and shows us the book of Daniel is the same living personal God that ministered to Daniel. This is the living God that Daniel loved. And this is the living God that you and I love today. Well, point number E on the page. In the book of Daniel, you're going to see this. God breaks hard hearts to reveal redemption. It's not just about knocking down the pride. The ultimate goal isn't ultimately to send people to hell. As we read in Ezekiel chapter 34, God says to the prophet, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they turn. God unleashing in chapter 33 and 34 of Ezekiel is all about the revelation of God and his desire that men would not perish, but turn and be saved. And so God will do things to break hard hearts. Look at Saul of Tarsus in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Look what happens as this man who is opposed to the church, opposed to Christ, opposed to Christians, as God supernaturally, Christ intervenes, brings him to his knees, and he turns and believes on the living Christ, is filled with the Spirit of God, and becomes a great missionary. God broke that hardened heart, opened those blinded eyes. And this is the power of God, the power of Christ operating and working today. He stands at the door and knocks, yes. He knocks on churches, doors, who become cold and callous and no longer evangelize. He knocks on the hearts of any believer. The Bible simply, Jesus says it this way. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the works that I've been doing, and even greater things than these. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. If you will stand up like Daniel, resolve not to compromise to the world, the flesh, or the devil, and yet give your life completely to the Lord, the power of the Spirit of God will flow in and on through your life. You'll be a great witness for Jesus. And the mission of God in our day is to win people to Jesus. And not the least, the most. If you get a few moments today, take out 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. I'm not going to read it for you. One of the great memory verses from my life. One that I seek and I want to be able to say and do the same thing. So I'm going to encourage you to pick up your Bible and to memorize, but more than that, to put into practice. You put it into practice, it'll be in your life. 1 Corinthians 9:19. It's all about God being with you and God and about God being about his purpose. It's all about God breaking hard hearts and revealing redemption. And you will see God break hard, pride-filled hearts as you're out witnessing. You'll see the Spirit of God melt hardened hearts and open eyes and turn people to the living Christ. You can see him even bring people like Saul of Tarsus down to their knees. Point F on your page, God breaks in to reveal judgment on evil. Now you look at Nebuchadnezzar and the judgment that occurred there. You look at Belshazzar, who was literally blaspheming God, mocking God in pride-filled arrogance. God said to him that he knew these things, but he did it anyway, and the handwriting was on the wall, and the end of his kingdom, and literally the end of his life, was there, and God was involved. Yes, judgment falls on evil. When there is no repentance, when there is no turn, when there is arrogance, God can step in. Even in the book of Acts, King Herod arrogantly received praise that he was God. He was a god. King Herod, who stood opposed to the will and the plan of God and would have stood clearly opposed to the people of God. It took just simply one angel to take that king out. Yes, he reveals judgment on evil. The great white throne judgment ultimately is the place of final judgment for those who have refused to believe the truth and so be saved. This is the hand of God working, and there will be a final judgment. That's what the end of everything is all about, the final judgment. And right now, though, God is about, well, like we read in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, that he is not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Look at point G on your page if you have it. God works through willing witnesses. Now that was true with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's why they went down in history. As God operated in lives that were open to him. You ever read Psalm 81:10? Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. A principle that God had told Israel again and again and again. And it's a principle for you and I today, that if we open wide our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the power of the Holy Spirit, which means that we're surrendered to his will, stepping out in obedience to his word, you got to realize how he's going to work through your life. You become a great, willing, soul-winning witness for Jesus Christ in this day. You're going to find that you're going to be a brilliant light of the Lord Jesus Christ in a world that is quickly ramping up to be very, very evil. In our days, as the book of Daniel prophesied, unprecedented demonic presence and evil all around us. The days of Antichrist and the most horrific demonic world system that this fallen world has ever known. Yet God will use witnesses. God will use you. God will speak into your life and he'll build you. Listen, the book of Hebrews chapter 11, take a read. He is the God who turns weaknesses into strengths. Those who are weak and shy and fearful, he can transform and make bold and defiant and immovable, powerful servants of the living Christ. Stepping out in obedience, you'll become bolder and bolder. Acts chapter 4, asking God for more boldness, he may come with great power and great effect if you're serious about your request. Offer yourself to the Lord, step out in faith, be consistent. He'll never let you down. He never let Daniel down. Daniel was faithful in his witness all the way into his 80s. May we be faithful in our witness all the days of our lives. The last point is H. God knows the past, the present, and the future. Now, these are just some reflections out of the book of Daniel. God may speak some principles to you and remind you of things, but I wanted to share midway through, or a little bit past midway through the book of Daniel, some of these principles. The last one was this: God knows the past, the present, and the future. You read in Revelation, the book of Revelation. I mean, you find out that he is the Alpha, the Omega. You find out that God speaks about the future, that he's beyond the present beyond the past. He's right here, right now. That he knows the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. God is outside of time, yet operates in time. When God speaks of future events and says this is what's going to happen, in every single case, through prophetic revelation progressively given in Scripture, we see that God, in every case so far, has been 100% accurate. And so we know that as we read these prophecies in chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, the rest of these chapters deal with massive, massive prophecies. Some of these revelations disturbed the man of God, Daniel. Someday you and I will get to meet Daniel as we're glorified in Christ and be able to fellowship. And that will be an incredible day. God knows your past. God knows the blood of Jesus, the cleansing, the justification. God knows the present situation. God knows all the future. So be surrendered. Put your faith, trust, and continue to walk with the Lord in every single way. Hey, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. This is one of the courses, Theology for the Third Millennium, and we are in the book of Daniel, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and this is an additional session as we look at reflections in the book of Daniel.